Hi, everybody. Thank you. Yes, my name is David Hensley from the University of Florida. My presentation to you today is about the impact of corn nitrogen application on peanut nodulation in the following season in a corn-peanut rotation. So biological nitrogen fixation, or BNF, is a very important fraction of all nitrogen fixed globally, even today, in the annual nitrogen cycle, but it's also an important fraction of nitrogen in our agronomic systems. However, we know that BNF is actually suppressed, as is nodulation, which is the physical evidence of BNF activity, by the application of inorganic nitrogen. Now, most studies that focus on BNF often focus on things like a total amount of nitrogen fixed in the BNF process, or potential contributions of nitrogen to the soil from the crop, rather than looking at nodulation in detail as specific aspects like number and size. And in addition, a lot of studies on this effect of suppression of nodulation and BNF from the application of inorganic nitrogen focus on soybean, mostly because that's often fertilized directly with nitrogen. But in our region, in northern Florida, peanut is a typical legume, and it's often rotated with another crop like corn or cotton. Now, nitrogen fertilizer is rarely applied to peanut, but a crop like corn, for example, has a high nitrogen demand, and in our region, growers might apply as much as 350 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which leaves some potential, especially depending on the environmental conditions, for resident nitrogen in the soil system in the following year to affect the legume. However, there's very little information actually on the possible impact of nitrogen fertilizer application in the 1 year on the subsequent legume in a rotation. And in peanut, there's almost none. But it is important because if the corn nitrogen application rates in use are affecting BNF or nodule ecophysiology, there are implications for soil health in the long run, and there's also obviously fertilizer cost implications in the short term. So our question was, is nitrogen fertilizer used on corn affecting peanut nodulation and BNF in the next season? So our hypothesis on that question, of course, is that the lower corn nitrogen rates would result in higher rates of nodulation responses in peanut the next year. Our objectives to investigate that question were first and foremost to develop a nodulation assessment technique to look at specific aspects of nodulation, such as, first of all, nodule density, which is the number of nodules per centimeter of root, the average size of a nodule, and the internal color, which is particularly important because it's a kind of a proxy for the BNF activity in the nodule, and that's due to the red color, characteristic red of leg hemoglobin, which is necessary for BNF. And the reason we focused on this kind of nodulation approach rather than other techniques that assess BNF, like acetylene reduction or nitrogen 15 isotopic dilution, is that in particular in an in-situ field question like ours, it's recommended, we agree with authors in the literature that suggests that it's good to couple that kind of analysis with nodulation assessments. But I found that the nodulation assessments in the literature were in need of some updating, so I wanted to get more detail and quantification. So our second objective, of course, is to look at these nodule responses for a treatment effect from the corn nitrogen treatment. And then thirdly, we wanted to look for possible correlations between the nodule responses we get and chlorophyll fluorescence parameters that we measure to look for perhaps the connection between BNF nitrogen and reaction center density and the operation of the photosystem in general. So our experimental design is a RCBD with four replicates, and we have three nitrogen treatment levels there. The medium rate, as you can see, is based on the UF extension recommendations for corn. And so the next year, Georgia 06G, which is a common peanut cultivar, was planted in the same plots. And across all the treatments, there was an inoculation that took place to promote nodulation. They were all fully irrigated, and pesticides, fungicides, and so on were in accordance, again, with UF extension recommendations. In our two-year study, our field sampling was done at evenly spaced dates 6 times in the season. We sampled the roots and brought them back to the lab, where they were divided into taproot and lateral sections. And from these groups, 100 centimeters of root length were selected, and the nodules were then carefully excised from that. And once excised, the nodules are placed in these clear plastic trays and scanned in a digital scanner with a blue background, as you can see in the top right. And this blue color was chosen just because it's a good contrast with that nodule color. And that contrast allows us to use an image editor program to uniformly kind of fill in that background and create a silhouette image, which is what you see in red. And those images can be used with an image analysis program, which can give us the number and the average size and so on very rapidly once you have the image. For the internal color, however, that requires dissection. So we selected 30 nodules from each sample and dissected them, placing one half down and scanning them in a similar fashion. You can see that image on the right. These images were used with a color analysis program, WinCam, that gives a 0 to 1 activity score based on the red color of like hemoglobin. So the way that we achieved that score is to pixel by pixel assign the value of 1 to a red pixel, and 0 values to inactive colors, which are green, black, and white. Now, if you look at the footer of every slide here, that's a gradient between red, the active color, and the 3 inactive colors. And that gradient was used to establish these fractional intermediate values for pixels that are somewhere in between. So it's not just zeros and ones, there's some element of a gradient there. And those intermediate colors are there on the square image on the left. And so the end result of all of this is, in the end, the sample will have a 0 to 1 activity score. So for the methodology for chlorophyll fluorescence measurements, both years, 4 times during the season, we took before dawn chlorophyll fluorescence measurements 2 days after the nodule sampling. Specifically, we used the OGIP test, which returns parameters related to photosystem 2. It's summarized in this diagram, particularly parameters about absorbance, dissipation, trapping, and the electron transport chain. So this slide summarizes our statistical approach, which I won't go into detail about, but we did use a mixed model repeated structure, and in bold is the model statement, which does include sample date and, of course, the treatment level, year, and the root type. So moving into the results now, you can see this is year 1 and 2 of the nodule activity over time. So on the y-axis is the 0 to 1 activity score based on the color, and the x-axis is the sample date. So we do see a decline through the season, but more interesting is when you apply the statistical model, you actually do see a treatment pattern in which, as expected, there is this effect where lower nitrogen treatments to corn result in higher nodule activity at the end of the season. Now, the other treatment, or the other nodule responses, didn't see a similar treatment pattern, and you do get kind of interesting life history trends and so on that we found, but I don't have time to go into those results here, but there was no treatment pattern for the others. But for the correlations with chlorophyll fluorescence parameters, I'm going to return to this diagram here and use it to kind of go with each response in turn to kind of show which parameters correlated the best and to look for patterns there. Nodule activity, that's the color, correlated the best out of the 3. And these highlighted parameters are the very best of the correlations. And just to highlight that they relate to electron transport and trapping. But more importantly than that is this reaction center density, which as you maybe can see that some of those other parameters are evaluated on a cross-sectional basis. So we do think that correlation there with the reaction center density per cross-section drives many of those other very strong correlations. Nodule size was a pretty similar story. The correlations weren't quite as good, but still quite strong. The same kind of pattern with which parameters, also a positive correlation, same possible underlying driver of reaction center density. Now, nodule density, didn't correlate quite as strongly, but there were still some strong correlations that are a similar type of parameters. That was interesting, though, because it didn't correlate positively. It was usually negative, which indicates that maybe a different type of relationship with these parameters. So we did find that nodule activity is affected by corn nitrogen application rates, but only at the end of the season. And that's kind of to the contrary of what one might expect, given that it's potentially a residual effect from the previous year. So a possible mechanisms that we're thinking about to explain this is, first of all, it could be a delayed response within those lower treatments to a longer period of nitrogen allocation to the developing seeds, in which they're keeping essentially those nodules active longer for that purpose. It could be a more general process of delayed crop development, though, due to those lower initial nitrogen conditions in the peanut field. Now, for those correlations, again, we did find very strong correlations with those OJ parameters, with these between that and these nodule responses, especially, again, with that reaction center density. And the possible mechanism for that we think is that relates to the BNF nitrogen supply, which then is correlated probably with that reaction center density due to the chlorophyll's nitrogen demand. We're going to continue to look into that, though, by looking for further correlations with the tissue nitrogen content in the peanut between those two groups of variables. So, now the importance of this study is first and foremost the development of our methodology. That it's this quantitative assessment technique for nodulation. It provides more granular data, it provides more detailed data about details of the nodulation process and phenology. And furthermore, these same nodule responses calculated via this methodology do show quite strong correlations with other physiological measurements. And last but not least, we did find, of course, this nitrogen treatment effect from the previous season from corn. And in Florida's sandy soils, the existence of an effect like that is significant. So with that, I'd like to thank the funders and supporters. I'd like to specifically thank my advisor, Diane Rowland, for her help. And I'll take any questions. Actually, there were measurements of that taken, but it was much prior to the planting. So I have access to it, but I haven't analyzed it yet. But I'm actually, I didn't mention it, but I am going to be looking at that because, of course, it's relevant. To my knowledge, though, the person who took that data has looked at it, and there aren't differences. So we are, of course, thinking about that. But I'll get my hands on that soon and be analyzing it. Oh, no, actually, no, we haven't. That would be useful to follow up with. I think the strong correlation that exists with that color measurement and other measurements is encouraging, but I would like to see research that looks at the specific link. I mean, there's obviously a theoretical connection, and there's plenty of literature to support that link, that color link, which is what our basis was for choosing to do this. But no, we didn't specifically look at leg hemoglobin itself, just the red color.